Right, we'll have Brother Stanford come now and preach.
Well, it is December. Good to be here with you this first Sunday month of December. We always think about it's December. It's December the 4th. So how many days is it till Christmas, Hope? It's my Christmas calendar. 21. Thank you. Very good. Very good. 21. 3 weeks exactly till the day, till Christmas Day, the 25th. And so it's that time of the year when we talk about that a lot. We sang Christmas songs this morning, and we certainly do talk about it. And we think about the birth of the Savior. We think about Mary, what she did, what she went through, what she did. Her part in Joseph, we talk about. We've been teaching this to the children here. The shepherds, the angels, each had their own part. You see those in the book of Matthew and the book of Luke, but don't turn there this morning because we're not going to look at the book of Matthew or the book of Luke this morning. We're not even going to look at the book of Mark. But turn with me to the book of John, chapter 1 and verse 1 this morning. We are going to talk about Jesus and his beginning. We'll say it that way. That's really not correct because the Lord has no beginning, but you understand. I'm sure you probably already do. So this morning, look at John chapter 1, and I'll read just verse 1 to start with. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's interesting, if you think about this. This is actually, in context, older than Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, where the Bible says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Because here it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This precedes God creating the heavens and the earth. Technically, the emphasis here is placed on the Word, Jesus himself. That's what's interesting about the book of John, is it presents Jesus as God. Presents him in his deity. Presents him in his equalness with God, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning a little bit. He clearly identifies the Lord in all his power, in all his glory, in all his character. Well, I shouldn't say all his characteristics, many important ones. That's why we're just going to look at the first four verses here. I think we'll look at some other places in the Bible as well. But we want to understand some of these things about the qualities of God, the qualities of the Lord, of our Lord, and why it's so important to understand those things. So just to get right into this, we'll go back again. John chapter 1, and I'll read verse 1 again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Wow. In the beginning. Think about it this way. When you look around you, when we look around the world, we see all all that we can see. Jesus was there before all this came into existence. Again, I reference back to Genesis chapter 1 and following, where the Lord created. He gives us a record of creation and all that he made. Including man, first man, Adam and Eve. But before that was, Jesus was. The Word, as Jesus is described here, had no beginning. Jesus, just like God the Father, has always been. That's important. Some people might say, well, obviously I know that, I understand that. Well, I'm glad you do. I need to be reminded of those things periodically myself. I think that's one of the reasons it's here in the Bible. Maybe for people to see it for the first time, but I need to see it over and over and over again myself to think about this. You know, because especially this time of the year, we read about it and we emphasize and we teach it to everyone we can, and so we should, that the Lord came and was born there in Bethlehem. I just had the opportunity of teaching that story to the kids this last week here in the church, and how that Jesus was born there in the stable in Bethlehem, a humble beginning. And we always, you know, focus on that story. And it's very important. That's when he came in the flesh. But we also need to let them also understand that that wasn't his beginning. That was just the beginning of his physical body. process here on earth. His earthly incarnation, you might say. His earthly ministry, we call it. But certainly not his beginning. He could not have a beginning. We would have nothing to base this on standing here today if he had a beginning. Jesus is God. He's equal with the Father, but yet separate from the Father. So therefore, that said, he must be eternal like the Father. One passage. Revelation chapter 22, verse 13. Revelation. Very end of the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 22, verse 13. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Jesus' words. And he certainly is. He is the beginning. He is the end. He is all. He is eternal. Let's move on. Back to John chapter 1, verse 1. Beginning was the Word. Next part says, and the Word was with God. What do we see here? We see a distinct personality. Every one of us has a personality, so to speak. But here it says, he, the Word, Jesus, was with God. Two distinct entities. The Word is there with God alongside of him. Throughout all the time, before the time that we know began, and throughout all the rest of the time, they will be distinct. They have been and they will be distinct. Of course, there's perfect fellowship between the two, as there should be, as it would be nice if there could be between two human beings, but sin causes that problem. But there's no sin problem between God and the Father and God the Son. But they're two separate and distinct personalities. Same book of John, John chapter 16, verse 26. John chapter 16, verse 26. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. It says the verse next, for the Father himself loveth you, because he hath loved you, and hath believed that I came out from God. Jesus is saying, I will pray for you. I came out from God. I am my Father. He makes reference to himself and his Father, and praying for you to the Father. Again, part of a distinct personality. Jesus prays for us. He intercedes for us to God. The Bible tells us that. His distinctness is proved by his life here on earth. He came. Again, we remember that this time of the year, don't we? See it in the decorations. You see it. You should. We hear it in the songs. We should. The idea, the message of his physical birth here on earth. How he came. And his life here on earth began his physical presence with us. That didn't last too long. It did 33 and a half years or so. Out right around there. He ate. He drank. He slept. He lived among men. He could read through the Gospels and find all kind of accounts of this. I'm here in John chapter 1. In my Bible, if I look over to the right side of the page, I don't know where you are in your Bible, but John chapter 2. The very first verse there says, and the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And we won't go on about that story. That's the first miracle the Lord performed there. But the idea here is that he did something that we commonly do. He went with his friends to a marriage. He interacted with people. He had a distinct personality from his Father and among other people as well. He lived among men. You know, God the Father has always been God the Father. But he has never dwelt with men in his personality. That's not his purpose. That was the Son's purpose. That's his uniqueness of his position and his personality. His position in eternity, we've already seen that, and we've seen his personality. Let's go on. John chapter 1, verse 1 again. It says, in the beginning was the God, was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the last word of that verse says, and the Word was God. I mean, we've already made reference to this, but let's just see clearly what it says here. The Word was God. Jesus is separate from God. Though He's separate from God the Father, He is still all God Himself. Well, this is what throws so many people off. Threw me off for a long time in my life when I was younger. I had a hard time understanding this. I can remember that in my life. The Word here is God. Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Let's see what it says there. Colossians 2. Paul writes here, Colossians 2, chapter 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Next verse. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The fullness of Christ. In Christ, in Him, lies everything. He is all God. All the fullness of God is within Him. All the fullness of God is within God the Father. All the fullness of God was in the Holy Spirit as well, though we're not discussing that so much this morning. But it's interesting. Going back there to Colossians, I missed something there. Verse 8 has a warning. Look at this. I like the first part. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8 says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. A warning there. The warning against what? Against false teachers. Because they want you to do something different than what God wants you to do. We'll leave it there for just a moment. They want you to do something different than what God and His Word want you to do. What do they want you to do? They want you to follow their philosophy or their teaching. And honestly, sometimes many philosophies, many religions, teachings, groups out in the world seem pretty good on the outside. But this verse stuck there in the middle of Colossians says, beware lest someone spoil you through vain deceit, through man's teaching. Don't follow, simple warning, don't follow the traditions or the teachings of men. The world is full of those kind of groups, those kind of religions, those kind of teachings, that kind of philosophy today. And it's not just today, it's been that way as soon as man began to multiply and fill the earth. It was the same philosophy at the Tower of Babel. How long ago that was. Man began to come up with his own way of thinking and basically thought we can outthink God. We can reach physically to the Lord. But again, we need to be careful. All these, they're all different religions, groups, philosophies, whatever you want to call them. They're all different in their own way. Some might say, about the Lord. And that's what it comes down to, is see what they say about Jesus, for the most part. For the most part, see what they say about Jesus. What do they say about Him? Some might say He's a good man. He was a great teacher, or he was a great prophet. Maybe they might say He was a God. I've met people who will tell me that. But they will not say He was God, as we already saw. Equal with the one God, as they might say. That's why Paul writes here to the Colossians. He says, beware. It was beware then, it's beware today, it'll beware until the Lord returns. Until all this is changed. Listen to this next statement. I will say it this way. We cannot let Jesus become less than what He really is. We cannot let Jesus become less than what He really is. Of course, He won't ever become less than what He really is. When I say this, I mean in your mind or in your heart, in our way of thinking, we cannot let Him become less than what He really is. He is God. And again, that's the danger of these cults, religion, false religions, cultures, philosophies out there, is sometimes they promote a good thing. Sometimes they sell a good package. Sometimes it looks very appealing. But when it comes right down to it, if they do not recognize Jesus as God, that's where it's often easy, very easy to see where they're coming from. Because you cannot have any truth in you and not recognize that first and most important truth. Jesus is God. He's eternal. He has a personality. He's separate from God the Father. They are separate, but yet constantly, continually in agreement. He's God. He never changes also. Verse 2, John chapter 1, verse 2. The same was in the beginning with God. He has never changed. Again, very important, but yet simple principle to understand. Jesus came to earth in his human form, we might say, for one purpose. To be the Savior of the world. The world needed a Savior. The Lord had said, God had said through his word many, many years before this, the Savior will come. And so they were looking forward to the Savior coming. The Savior came in the flesh to fulfill that purpose, the Lord Jesus did. But he was the Son of God, and he was the Savior in the very beginning also. When it says, in the beginning was the Word, he was the Savior then. We had a Savior then. Those kind of things, those kind of ideas are a little bit hard for us as humans to get our mind around. And I certainly understand that we're just human. This idea that God knows everything and knew before time began that man would need a Savior. And some say, but wait a minute, if he knew that, why would he create man? Why don't we just deal with what we have here instead of creating and adding ideas and thoughts that we don't need to? Why don't we just realize what God did? He did provide for us all that we would need in the Savior. And the Savior, the Son, agreeing with the Father at all times, knowingly, willingly came to the earth, lived among men, taught man, interacted with man, and died in man's place on the cross. He did not become the Son when he was born in Bethlehem in that state. He just manifested himself in the flesh because he is God, and that was his appointed time to do that. That's all. When he was there at creation, he was the Son, and he will always be the Son. He's always been that way. Look at 1 John chapter 4 and verse 14. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 14. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And that's a statement. 1 John chapter 4, verse 14. And we have seen and we do testify. John is saying, we testify of this, that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And the Son willingly came. We could add that, and it would not be odd, it would not be wrong, to be the Savior of the world. And he was. His deity and his power and his authority have never changed and never will. He has always been the same, and he always will be. And again, we need to remember that. We as believers, we as Christians today, need to remember that. This is Jesus. Some people try to downplay Jesus in the world today. Some groups, some religions, some cults, some people out there, some, quote, well-meaning people. Some people trying to make Jesus their buddy. He's not my buddy. He's God. Some people try to make Jesus their friend. He's not my friend. He's God. He always has been. Back again to the passage, John chapter 1, look at verse 3. It says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Again, more aspects to the personality of Jesus Christ. He was the Creator. Again, this passage here in John chapter 1, I go back and read it quite often, because it helps me to keep in my mind exactly who and what Jesus is, was, and always will be. Equal to God, standing with God in creation of all that we see. When you go to Genesis chapter 1, you read in creation, we always think about God, and that's okay. But this verse is reminding us that the Son was there himself. he shares equally with God in creation, with God the Father in creation. Before he was born in Bethlehem, he was there in creation. Before he suffered, he was there in creation. Before he died on the cross and rose again for our places, in our place. Before he did all those things, he was there in creation. He is the creator of all. That is Jesus. Going back again, the final verse here I want to look at this morning, John chapter 1 and verse 4. It says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." What is the last thing we want to see about the word here? In him is life. Wow. Jesus is creator. He is eternal. He is separate from God the Father himself. He is God in himself. All those things. But here it says that he gives life. Remember, part of the creating process, we already said he was there at creation, and part of the creating process was giving life, wasn't it? Adam and Eve were created and life was given to them by God. That's natural life, and certainly Jesus is the source of that life, because we've already seen that he's God, and so he must be the source of that life as well. He's as much God as the other, as the God the Father is. But this is more. Verse 4 is more. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. This is what we call spiritual life. Each of us is born, and I know you know this, but we certainly need to be reminded of this. Each of us is born with an everlasting soul. The physical body that we live in will die and will pass away and be gone. There's no use to it. Okay, it will return to the dust from when it was taken. You know, the Lord said he made us from the dust of the earth, and we will return there. That's the purpose behind this body. We don't need to glorify it anymore, any less than that. That's enough said about the body. But our soul, the Bible makes it very clear, will live forever. Look at 1 John chapter 5. Let me look at a couple of verses here. 1 John chapter 5. Excuse me. 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." That's what we saw back there in John chapter 1 and verse 4. In him was life, this eternal life. God gives us eternal life, or as it's understood, he provides for us a means to eternal life if we will believe and receive it. That life is in the Son, in Jesus Christ. And God wants all men to know this. The Bible tells us that over and over and over again, that all may know. That all may know. That all may know, God says. That is why Jesus came in the flesh, so that he might live, not so that he might attract a crowd or meet other people. Yes, those things happen and there's a purpose for that, but his purpose was to die in our place, to take our sins upon himself, his perfect self, and die in our place on the cross. Through that, then, this verse can be true, because it says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." This life. And God wants everybody to know this. And that's why we're here. That's why this church is here. So that all men might know this. So just a reminder, this morning, it's Christmas time, and it's a busy time with plans and good plans, most of them. different things going on, different activities, even within the church, even with our church here, within individuals' lives. People can know the Savior and can think, I'm doing these things for the Lord, but are we really? We need to make sure, we need to back up and realize who our Savior truly is. Praise him and thank him for all that he does. Make sure that's a part of our life. and make sure that what we do does point back to Him. That we're not pointing to ourselves or to someone else. Thank Him for all He has done in our lives. Understand His eternity, His personality, His deity, the fact that He is God, the fact that He was the Creator, the fact that He gives us life. Understand all these things. Don't diminish Him. Some people would hear that and go, wait, I would never do that. Well, then you're better than me, because I have. In my Christian life, I have sometimes backed up. But you know what? If we remember this, you know, we can easily tell people then. I've had people ask me, you know, like, what do you teach at your church there? We just teach the Bible. We just teach people about Jesus and about the Lord and about the real God. Things like that. Those are the basic principles. That's really all you need to do to tell people. That's telling someone who has no idea what you're talking about, because for the vast majority of the people, at least here, they really have no idea what you're talking about when you talk about the Bible. One God. One God in three parts, as it begins to get a little more complex. God knows all that. And, He knows everything. Just look at the little things that you see in these first four verses. How much the Lord Jesus is, and how He's in full agreement with God the Father, and how now, and though we didn't get into this, the Holy Spirit working in the lives of believers now and leading people to do things. And wow. Seems pretty complicated. But you know what? It's really not that complicated. If you let God be in charge of it, let God be God, and we just do our part. But remember who He is. In the beginning was the Word. And then down in verse 14 it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Wow. Full of grace and truth, it says at the end of that verse. But that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. And that's just incredible to think about. What God the Father did for us, what God the Son agreed to do, willingly did for us, and what we have the pleasure and the responsibility today to share with others. Maybe someone's hearing this and has never heard this story before. That same Lord, that same Jesus died in your place on the cross. He died in my place on the cross. He died so that every one of us could have eternal life. And what we said earlier in John 1:4, it says, in Him was life. That life He brought to us, eternal life, if we would believe on Him. Wow. The world is full, sadly, I mentioned earlier, the world is full, sadly, of false teachings, false religions, false philosophies out there today. But the world also has the truth. It's in God's Word. If you know the Lord as your Savior, it's in your heart. But it's in His Word. And it's all we need. What a blessing that is. Let's pray. Thank You, dear Lord, so much for the time together this morning here. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the reminder we've been able to see this morning from Your Word who You are. Help us, God, as believers, to remember, to not take for granted, to not forget who You really are, Lord, to be mindful of that every day of our life, thankful and mindful and dependent upon You, for we certainly cannot do these things that You want us to do on our own. I pray for others, Lord, who don't know You as Savior yet. Life, life everlasting, eternal life is available to them if they will just surrender themselves to You. Surrender themselves to Your will for their life. For You have said that You're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord died on that cross for the sakes and the souls of all men. Help people to understand that. Help us as believers to understand and do all that we can to share that love with others. I pray You bless the remainder of the day here. Help us, Lord, through this Christmas season to just be truly thankful and reminded of who You are. In Jesus' name we pray.